Hey there, Attack on Titan fans. Welcome to another episode of the Attack on Titan After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight, we are talking about the Season 2 finale, Episode 37, Scream. And guys, there are a bunch of girls who are ready to scream about it. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
How did this happen? How are we... of time. How is it already the season 2 finale?
Well, it was the longest 36 hours of my life.
Only 12 episodes. So there's
that. This was half a season. But how did this happen is also a question we will be asking probably many times in this episode. Yes. Before we dig right into it, hey, Attack on Titan fans, welcome to the Attack on Titan After Show. Tonight we are talking about episode 37, Scream. Let's not waste any time. Let me introduce my fantastic panel to my left, the light of my light, Alexis Torres.
Hi, everybody. You guys can find me all over the interwebs at atorres890, and also my voice. It's definitely not here.
To her left, the lovely Emma Fife.
That's me. I'm Emma Fife, and that is also my Twitter handle.
To her left, the wonderful Katie Cullen.
I've been replaced.
Oh, no. Hi, all my buddies. You can find me all over the social medias at Kiaxe. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. And to my left, at the other end.
Three lefts make a right. I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can tweet at me at the Menguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N. We've got you guys on the live chat. We are going to also be keeping an eye on the hashtag ABTVTitan. And guys, as always, initial announcements, no manga spoilers. Don't tweet them at us. Don't put them in the YouTube comments. Don't put them in the live chat. I'm sick of having to say it. I'm over it. No manga spoilers.
That's Megan's like rant for this episode. Right,
we had issues with Twitter last night.
Stop it. You just stop. Yeah. You just stop.
But for serious guys,
this is the extent that Katie and I have read to in the manga, and not everybody on this panel has read the manga, and not everyone in our comments section has read this portion of the manga either, so zip it. Keep it to yourselves.
And being coy and being like, well, what about if you actually know?
Counts as spoilers.
Don't be that guy. Don't be that guy.
Just sit there in your little fortress of knowledge and smile, knowing what's in store for people
like
when they finally get there.
It used to be for me watching Game of Thrones. I could sit on a chair off to the side while everyone sat on a couch, and I could watch them react to things
like
the Red Wedding. But I can't do that anymore. Thanks, George R. R. Martin. Why don't you write some books?
That's not even all of it. We're about to get that MFI, but I'm so excited.
I am too. Okay, guys. So, again, this is less of a season finale and more of a half season.
Because
we waited a long time for half a season. So, you know, take this episode with a grain of salt. It's not as obviously climactic as the attack on the inner wall from the female Titan.
Sure.
It's not as epic as that battle. But again, this is more on par with the end of the Trost arc. So, in my opinion, kind of in terms of level of dramatic consequences, I feel like this was a satisfying episode, but ultimately filled with some problems. And I wanted to go around the table. How are we ultimately feeling about this as a season finale?
I'm just going to toss it down over here. I'm going to go last.
Can I say something real fast?
Yeah.
Kelly Jones in chat saying, will you four ladies ever wear Survey Corps jackets for next season's after show if you send them to us?
Yeah, I'm saying, like, for us.
I am broke right now.
If you send us those jackets, hell yeah, we'll wear
them. I did buy one from Hot Topic. It definitely does not fit me anymore. So if you want to change that...
Yeah, I did not love this season finale because it included my least favorite fictional trope in existence, and that ended up kind of marring my view of the rest of the episode, like to the point that I was so annoyed by something else that had happened that Hannes's death to me felt pointless and stupid and cliche, as did the reveal of Aaron's powers felt like a deus ex machina.
So, yeah, it's a real shame when, again, such a glaring flaw in an episode can ruin it.
Yeah.
It, you know, depending on who you are, it can be a make or break sort of situation.
Yeah.
See, I wasn't bothered by it at all because a near miss doesn't make it canon. So let's, I was just like, all right, you guys, do we have that out of our systems? Great, let's go.
Alexis, do you have anything? Let's go ahead and just dig into it, because the big issue I feel like we all have with this episode, to varying degrees of intensity, sure. I suppose,
yep.
is the fact that we get this very ship fodder moment between Eren and Mikasa.
Right.
And I'll say that if you go back to the beginning of this after show, initially I went back and forth on whether or not I shipped them. Some days I did, some days I didn't. But as their relationship progressed and as we got to talk to the voice actors on the show and the voice director of the show, like, it became very apparent, no, this was a brother-sister relationship. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's how Mike has the actors play it. That's very much how the actors interpret the relationship. So the fact that we have this moment between the two of them feels like, not like a fulfillment of a thing we've always wanted to see, it feels like a betrayal of the characters that we know and love.
Yeah, yeah. I think for me, and this is something that I have, I've made my distaste for this pairing very well known. There's a couple anime pairings that anytime we get into any territory at all within the canon that does seem to try to, like, push people shipping the two of them, I immediately recoil and get really angry, and I have
Stop
a hard time
incest,
getting
Japan.
Over it. Right. So I mean, my number one in this particular sort of categorization is Hiro and Relina and Gundam Wing. Anytime there was, and guys, Frozen Teardrop doesn't exist as far as I'm concerned. But
I don't hate that.
Get out. You're done. You are out.
Wait a minute.
I need to rewatch that show now that I've got a decade and a half more.
I actually did ship them, and there goes all my credibility from now on.
No, you're allowed to ship things in middle school.
You are allowed to have your opinions. So basically, and then like my second pairing that I would put in this category is Eren and Mikasa. I just hate it, and this is why. Because initially, we are introduced to these characters in the very beginning of season one of Attack on Titan.
Yeah.
And they are children, and they are being raised in the same family. I understand that they only lived together in the same family for like 2 years before everything went to shit. I don't care. They presented this as a brother-sister relationship. And as you say in the dub, Mike McFarland is very adamant that that is what this relationship is. And that is a really interesting relationship. So for me, I feel that within fiction and within society, we place heterosexual relationships, like sexual romantic relationships, on this pedestal that they don't need to be on.
No.
Here's the thing. There's lots of different kinds of love. And so initially, you set up Eren and Mikasa, and it's this really interesting brother-sister relationship within the found family. And I'm a big believer in the found family.
Yes.
This is why Steven Universe is the most perfect show on television. And so then... when you throw in, again, these things of, like, especially because they really paint her as being in love with him and him not really getting it.
Yeah.
Which also really bothers me because she's so much more interesting if her view of him is her brother. I'm not saying that, like, Mikasa can't be in a heterosexual romantic relationship.
No, of course not.
I think everybody knows. I'm Shiv Jean and Mikasa. It's fine.
I was like, thank you.
But, like... I just, so for me, as you say, Megan, it feels like a betrayal of what was this really interesting relationship that we don't see portrayed in any fiction all that often.
Not, again, I know I made a big deal at the very beginning about no manga spoilers, but since we're here, I will be honest, I don't remember, and maybe this is just faulty memory on my part, but I don't remember these panels of the comic being portrayed as an almost kiss.
No,
here
I don't remember
motion,
that either.
She is going for it.
It really felt like it to
me.
So
that was going to be my question as a person who has not read the manga. I was like, did that happen? Because I feel like someone should have warned me about that.
We would have done a lot of yelling when we read the manga a couple years ago in this same flavor.
My
had that
memory,
happened.
And granted, it was several years ago now, but my memory of reading the comic is she says thank you for wrapping this scarf around
right.
me, and they're both crying,
right?
And then he does exactly what he does. He stands up and says, you know, he's happy to do it for her as many times as she needs him to in order to make her feel safe. And yeah, he gets his power and everything like that. But the moment it's framed just more as this, like, you're the you're the most important person in the world to me, not the now we're about to die, let's make out.
Yeah. This isn't the mummy.
Yeah.
That's the good mummy.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
You can't just
the Brendan Fraser one.
Yeah. You can't just go and drop the mummy on me right now, Katie. My heart.
Yeah. No, the good one.
I know.
So that was definitely, and because like I already really, really dislike the trope of people who were raised as brother and sister, like forever, for no matter how long, like even. Guys, Clueless is my favorite movie. It still makes me a little uncomfortable that he's her ex-stepbrother.
Even if it is Paul Rudd.
Yeah, even if it is Paul Rudd.
If you want to hear Katie and I rant about that particular thing, go to our Sword Art Online after show, and we will talk about things when we get past the first arc.
I think that's why I'm so mad at this. I don't want it to go down the SAO road.
Granted, that was even worse because they were actually cousins, so that makes it even worse, but... Anyway, neither here nor there. Other shows aside.
I love all the anime references are just all over the place.
The only way I'm sort of willing to forgive this particular scene is that I can sit here and go, she's still concussed, right?
I feel like
her depth perception is off because she's still suffering from a concussion.
She's concussed. Her ribs are probably broken. She's in a lot
of
pain.
That's not her going in for a kiss. That's her not being able to hold herself upright.
Perfect.
So
she was leaning?
Yeah.
Is that what we're doing right now?
Yes. She was leaning, and then they just framed it
real awkwardly.
Right. We're going to ignore the, like, light breeze and the shoujo sparkles that showed up. Like, we'll just...
No, that was her actually feeling pain.
That was her hallucinating.
Yeah, right. That was exactly what was happening.
That was one animator hitting the other and going, why are you putting that filter on? What's wrong with you?
So this is the thing, though, that is really making me angry, is the fact that I do have this very strong opinion about this. You know, Megan brings up that, like, she semi-shipped Hiro and Relina, which hurts my heart. But I haven't watched it recently. I'm not mad at you, and I don't think that your opinion is wrong.
No.
You know what I mean?
We're all entitled to our safe place, y'all.
And so that's the thing, because I have been very vocal in my sort of mixed feelings towards this Attack on Titan season 2 finale, it's the same thing that I get whenever I'm like, I don't like Christopher Nolan's Batman films. And I don't like them, you guys. I don't like them. And it's all these people coming at me, stating their opinions as facts and telling me that I am wrong for feeling the way that I feel. And that's not okay, you guys.
It's not okay.
The whole objectivity thing that fandom as a whole seems to have gotten recently, and as much as I hate to dog on the Voltron fandom because they're kind of terrifying, it's this, I'm right, and here's the moral reason why. Like, if you have an opinion, it has to be morally supported and morally correct, and everyone that disagrees with you is a terrible person to varying degrees of terrible.
Especially,
and that's an incredibly unhealthy way to look at things. Then you bring that into real life, and then all of a sudden you're the Republican Party.
Especially if we are talking within, like, you know, shipping characters and no particular pairing is 100% canon, I'm sorry, if your sexual fantasies aren't a little problematic, you're doing it wrong.
Everyone has the line that they're willing to draw.
Sure.
Everyone has their opinions. Everyone has their different way that they read the source material, and that's fine. And being able to discuss it and finding like-minded people is also fine.
Yeah.
Tearing up people who don't share the same opinions as you for one reason or another is not fine.
Yeah.
There's a big difference between, I like this ship, and 2 + 2 = 4. Right. One of those is a fact,
and the other one is your opinion.
Right. And you don't get opinions on arithmetic.
And here's the thing. I have many a math teacher who will concur with that assessment.
That's why I hated math.
Thank you.
That's why I'm a writer.
But here's the thing. There's nothing wrong with liking this particular show. No, and I'm sure for a lot of people, this was the moment they had been waiting
for. Of course. Yes. No, even today on TV Talk, like David Griffin, he was like, oh, I wanted him to kiss so badly. And I was like, what is wrong with you? But I'm not.
And you just kind of scream into the middle of this.
But you're not going to disown him for, for wanting them
David
to kiss.
David Griffin, nobody can disown him.
And I'm the first person, like, you put two characters together, and usually by the end of the scene, I'm like, now kiss.
Yeah. Yeah.
So not this time.
This is one of the few times where that didn't happen. But for somebody who, that is what they wanted by the end of this.
Are you kidding me? I am thrilled for you. I am thrilled for any Hero Relena fans who have read Frozen Teardrop. I know what happens. Good for you.
What's
good for
Frozen
you.
Frozen Teardrop?
It's like, Frozen Teardrop's weird, man. That's a totally
different
conversation.
One that we can talk about later.
I was like, no, it's canon. Yeah, it's like it's a series of light novels.
I have to
go, guys. No, we gotta get through this episode first.
I was gonna say, this is quickly becoming the episode of the Voltron After Show that we had Josh Keaton on, so.
Yep. It's my turn now.
I wanna bring up, your turn now?
No, I wanna talk about Historia and Ymir. That is what I'm saying. I want my kiss, damn it.
I wanted to say one more thing about
it. I wanted to put a cap on the Aaron and the a thing with the graphic that Andrew Fedge sent us on the Twitter hashtag.
Oh my god, that was so funny.
I cried laughing.
No, that was hysterical.
And it's that scene with all the Titans behind him, and one of them is just on elbows and knees looking real super interested.
Yeah, he's like, hello.
And he points it out saying, death and devastation all around, sure, but is my ship happening right now? Intrigue Titan knows what matters. That is the hardest that's all I can think of for this.
It's the funniest thing. Because, yes, we have this super dramatic scene going on.
I was so distracted. It was really bad.
What's going on this thread?
My fiance and I were watching this. I was screaming at the television. I stopped mid-scream and was like, wait, what is that Titan doing back there? And he was like, enjoying the view. Don't stop. Continue. Yeah.
And the other thing that I want to say is Erwin Smith's right arm in chat says, we went... Yeah.
Do we have another Phil Coulson's left hand situation going on?
We went from anime to The Mummy to Batman. What the hell is going on? I'm like, oh, you're new here.
Yeah.
It's your usual Attack on Titan after show.
Someone call us fakey girls. I dare you. I dare you.
Also, I don't know if on Twitter in the hashtag from a couple days ago, at the anime weirdo, is feeling the same way that I am about the Attack on Titan season finale, but he or she, I'm not sure what you are because your avatar is Sasha, tweeted a photo of somebody just flipping a table. As the response to the latest episode, so yes.
I feel like that's a fair
there it is. Assessment. I see it here.
Oh, yeah. Mark's bringing up the picture that Andrew sent us.
It's so funny.
Yeah, no, it's my favorite.
And I like that as the scene continues, that Titan gets closer and closer, but doesn't actually attack until Eren's powers are activated. Yep. And even then, that could have been interpreted as the Titan being like, don't you break up my ship!
I love it so much.
Yeah, I ship it and I will tear you. Oh my god, that Titan is the fandom. I ship it and I will tear you to pieces in defense.
Oh my god. That's terrible, but also so true.
Yeah.
Oh god, I love it.
Oh, there's a lot that could be said about that if we
there
dug
is.
Into
and
it.
And I know
bit.
There are a lot of people who are able to sanely and respectfully discuss their ships and their opinions.
100%.
I'm making fun of the people who can't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or who choose not to.
Of course. Mark, is that the picture?
That's
it. We're up.
That's it. It's beautiful.
Death and destruction all around shore, but is my ship happening?
Seriously, right just this one Titan, like, what is this?
And that, because he looks
you
like
you can
he's
just
like,
hear him doing the Steve Irwin monologue in the back of his head.
I'm not even gonna do it. But
I like the Titan in the direct middle. That's got a look on his face like, oi, that's not my ship.
Yeah. That's me.
I don't ship that.
Yeah, but then there's me just like, I can't look at this. I can't look at this right here in the corner. I was like, nope.
Ever since we found out that Titans are people, like, I've always been intrigued. Even before that, like, I've been intrigued at Titan hairstyles. I think there's a Titan with, like, slicked back hair. And
there was one that kind of had a, what is it called, a pomodoro?
A pomodoro.
Yeah, there was one, and I was like, wait, is there like a Titan's hairstylist? Yeah. I'm like, all right, you can't leave my store until I fix your hair.
No, some of the Titans really do. They've got like some nice hair going on.
You are not stepping foot inside that wall until you come over here and let me make it beautiful.
Yeah. Making a first impression.
So, Alexis, let's talk about Historia and Ymir.
Okay,
because you've got some feelings on this one,
look,
right?
There was a lot of things happening in this episode. I was very upset on a lot of levels. I wasn't Emma Fife because I didn't have a voice to actually scream. It was just weird inaudible, like squeaky noises that were coming out of me at this point. But like, I shipped them so hard that like, it hurt because they were having such heart to hearts, and it was happening. It got really close, and I was like,
"No, Alexis,
I'm like tearing up." I'm sorry.
If Aaron and Mikasa are a couple, then these two are just really good friends.
Oh, why do you betray me? And too, Mark.
So, is there an engineer that can fill in for you right now?
Is there an engineer who watches Attack on Titan aside from me? Both answers are no.
Neil.
Oh, that's fair, but he's not here.
Sorry. Little bit of behind the scenes info for those of you who were listening to the live stream last week. Neil was our engineer last week, and Mark happened to be engineering another show. I asked Neil his opinion on something, and he had to bite his tongue because he wasn't sure if Mark had gotten to watch it.
Which I hadn't, but I watched the season finale. That was also me being very sarcastic. Very sarcastic.
But it was nice, but also I had mixed feelings.
And this is the thing, is that, because I previously mentioned, like, in terms of the reveal of Eren's power, that because I was still reeling from the fact that they were playing into this trope that I really don't like, that I think, again,
it's a very problematic trope.
It is, and it's also, like, very cliche to, like, put a moment of, like, heterosexual romance as, like, an inciting incident to, like, things are going to get better.
As this mentor figure is getting torn apart.
Right, exactly.
Obviously.
Exactly.
That is really the backdrop to their conversation is Han is dying and eavesdropping Titan just like, so, hi, guys.
Right. So you have that going on. And then because of that, Hannes's self-sacrifice to me also felt very cliche. Yeah. And then Eren's power felt very Deus Ex Machina. However, I did, and in retrospect, it doesn't bother me as much, but I did really like that was the moment for Ymir where she goes, oh my God, we might be able to have a life together inside of the wall.
There's a future. Like, even in the wall, there could be a future. And even before that, they're there. But even before that, there's like the part where, Connie's like, come on, Crystal, we gotta go. And she's like, dude. It's Historia now, first and foremost.
I'm very proud of her for that.
Now, we said it earlier that until the show starts referring to her as Historia, we're going to keep calling her Krista. I feel like now's the time.
Yes.
Moving forward, we should be calling her Historia. She's like, first of all, it's Historia now. Also, Ymir, what's the deal? Were you trying to protect me again? I thought you said that we shouldn't live for anybody but ourselves. From now on, it's just you and me.
And on top of that, it's like, Ymir, her plan literally was just to take Krista or Historia outside of the wall and figure it out.
Yep.
Right. And that was her plan.
Totally fine with that storyline, just saying.
Right. But Historia does have this real sense of sort of like heroism and nobility, and she does feel that she like owes humanity something in a way that Ymir does not. Mm. But Ymir then has that moment at the end of being like, no, like maybe there is hope. Maybe we can do this.
And just that moment where Historia's like, when I'm by your side, no matter how bad it gets, I'm not afraid. And then she does that beautifully choreographed.
Yes. She became a total badass all of a sudden.
Through the power of love.
Like, Neil was like, okay, wait a minute. If we're going to start doing any kind of like different moon transformations, I need to see it in full. I need the whole background to change. Well, I need it. And I was
relax. There were a few moments in this episode where I was just kind of like, ooh, like they did not have their all-star team working on that bit of animation. But that sequence was one of the most beautiful sequences, beautifully animated sequences all season.
It was
gorgeous, and it was so great. It was just this wonderful, empowering moment where she's like, Ymir makes me feel like I can do anything, and then she takes off into the air. It's beautiful.
Yeah, she can.
And so, so I guess that this is a good sort of parallel to draw of like, so for people that, like, don't ship Ymir and Krista, and you really do think of them as just, like, being besties, that's how I feel about Aaron and Mikasa.
Yep.
So, like, good example. Perspective. Some perspective.
There we go.
Yeah, and I used to get a lot of crap about that as well.
Side note, how great was that shot with Ymir screaming, and we have the split screen of her and the Titan
so
face.
Yeah. Good.
And the overlay awesome. Of the voices just, oh.
Yeah. So cool. Ymir and Krista, or Historia, to me, just became, like, some of the most interesting characters this season. And I felt that, like, that was such a lovely storyline of them kind of bonding over the fact that they were sort of cast out by society in one way or another. And Historia being like, no, I believe in humanity. I want to do good things. And also realizing that through Ymir when she initially, we get that flashback to her being like, dragging that dude through the, through the winter. And she would have died, but Ymir's like, nah, you're not going to die. And so like that for her was that sort of inciting incident of like, no, I'm not going to die. I'm going to fight on and I'm going to do good. I'm going to do my best.
And we're going to do it together.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Ymir goes, I go, you stay. No following.
No, I like, know. Yep,
all right.
I was like, right. Just why is everybody betraying me in this episode? Stop it. Yep. But it was also really sweet how she sat there and was just kind of like, I'm sorry.
Well, and that adds another layer of complexity to Ymir's character, because this is a person who she was so happy to finally have a period in her life where she could live for herself.
Yeah.
And then she chose to live for Krista. Mm-hmm. And for as selfish as she acts or wants everybody to believe that she takes one look over at Bertholdt and Reiner and knows that they're not getting out of this without her help, or at least Bertholdt isn't, and that they're in this situation because of her, and she also murdered their friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she makes the decision to sacrifice her and Krista's potential happiness to go and help them, because she's one of the few people who understands the position that they're
in. Yeah, and on top of that, it again goes back to that idea of she has this moment of going, you know what? Maybe people can live in the wall. I don't have to get Krista out of here, and this is what's going to be best for her.
I don't like it. But I'm okay with it, because it makes sense.
I know. It's not over, Alexis. It's not over. Nobody died.
Nobody died. I'm not, no. But nobody died. At the same time, I really love that we got to see this whole different side of Ymir, especially from like what we saw from the beginning of the season to now. Like, it's just really cool, since I knew some people who are starting to get into this show now late in the game that didn't like her at first.
Yeah.
And then now they're like, oh, what have
now,
I done?
Now that she's been developed a little bit, they're like, oh, she's like an onion.
Let's
talk about the real MVP of this episode, freaking Commander Irving.
Oh my God.
Katie, what is going on with
them? Real quick, do you have any other thoughts on Ymir and Historia?
No, I've just kind of been eating popcorn and listening. I love watching people cry over their ships. It's amazing, and I'm a terrible human being. And, yeah, no, I think part of what made Ymir so interesting is that we did get to see her backstory, and we've had people tell us that that doesn't show up in the manga for a dog's age. And so getting it here and now changes the dynamic and changes the audience's opinion. And I think that really helps us for these last few episodes, because now we're invested. Yeah. We're not just invested because she can turn into a Titan, because it turns out, hey, a bunch of people can do that, evidently. Now it's like, oh, but this is what you've been through. This is why you think the way you do. All right, I'm in.
But she's integral to the lore of this world. She's been around for so long. Mm-hmm. And at the end of it, she's like, you know what? It wasn't so bad being a goddess for a little while.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be your souvenir as you go back home. But yes, before we talk about the MVP of this episode, Commander Irvin, I want to talk to you guys really quickly about iTunes. Folks, thank you so much to everybody who's gone to iTunes to rate, subscribe, leave a comment. We love hearing from you. And it is the best way to let our producers know that you guys like the show that we're putting on. Mark can back me up on that for sure.
And I will.
And it is what keeps the lights on here at the studio. It makes us more searchable, helps us get guests, and also it keeps us at these fancy desks right here. And if you guys do comment, you might even get a shout out on the show.
Well, let me pull it up. We have... It's up! It's up! Things my non-existent boyfriend says.
Aww,
Katie! Yep, there it is.
Katie, haven't you been paying attention in this episode? You don't need a boyfriend. Yeah. The friendship, the love you feel for your friends is enough.
I have literally never needed a boyfriend.
Yeah, everybody, bring it in. Yeah.
All right, the review. The puns by Calivsack. Be it Attack on Titan, Samurai Jack, Voltron, Doctor Who, or the literal 12 other after shows I watch weekly, you all are amazing. Aww. Your puns are fantastic and should be embraced. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. I look forward to season 3. Yeah.
Aww.
Great.
Thank you. Thank awesome. You guys so
Have
much.
Have an
you
awesome
are,
summer.
You guys Aww. Are so, so sweet.
Sorry. That brought me back. I'm sorry.
You guys are so sweet. And it's because of your help that we've got a little announcement towards the end of the show, so be sure to stick around for that. Anyway, okay, so Commander Irvin, oh
dude,
my god,
dude,
first awesome. Of all, after last week's episode, he was such a boss in last week's episode,
and he just made it even better.
Amazing.
I literally last episode thought for sure, I was like, no, okay, Irvin, that makes sense, as somebody they might kill off, and then he just got his arm ripped off and he just kept rolling with it.
He's like, that, nah, keep moving forward, everybody.
That is why we got that play of the game video.
Yes. Yeah. Which, again, thank you to Andrew for sending us that. Yeah. Be sure to check out the person's YouTube channel if you haven't already done so. Mm-hmm. For this episode, though, we could see that adrenaline starts to wear off a little bit.
Yeah.
Especially when you're getting Titans lobbed at your face.
Not cool.
And we see this. This is a continual thing. Irvin's kind of at his limit physically.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritually, he's still like, guys, don't even worry about me. What matters is getting Aaron out of here.
But I can be replaced. Aaron cannot. And he's in the middle of telling this guy, tell him to run. And
every time he starts to tell someone that, they get numbed by
him. Yeah, stop talking.
Just go. Everyone you talk to dies. Just keep riding.
The problem is that people keep coming to defend him because he is now defenseless. And
right.
he keeps going, no, guys, just go. And then they keep dying for him. And he's like, gosh darn it, this is not a good day for me.
Someone just get me my horse back and I'll be fine.
But it's incredible that, like, again, even in this moment where he's had his arm ripped off and, again, having Titans lobbed at him, he's still thinking about the mission and humanity as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And then when this whole thing is said and done, he has this wonderful smile on his face of, like, we have made more progress in the last few weeks, with Aaron on our side, than we've probably gotten in decades working through the Survey Corps and just exploring the area immediately outside
but
the
that
wall.
Was a creepy as hell smile, though.
It was a little
creepy.
But you know what?
He rocks
that 5 o'clock shadow, though.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
I am into it. But
I know, right?
But yeah, it's one of those things where this in particular was a hard episode to watch, especially if you're a fan of him, because at any moment you do feel like he could get stomped on.
Oh yeah. I thought for sure that he would be the one to go, but once like he'd gotten his arm eaten off and he just like kept going and he
magically landed on his horse.
Right, and he then kept going. I was like, I think he's gonna make it.
It would have been cheap to kill him this episode after everything that happened last episode. It would have been anticlimactic. Especially since we have the big Hannes thing going on.
But at the same time, I like that actions have consequences.
Yeah. Yes.
Levi's still recovering.
Sure.
Irvin doesn't walk away from this unscathed.
No, he doesn't.
He is now seriously handicapped, now only having one arm. That is a detriment. Like, I don't think he's going to be able to be on the front lines
anymore. I don't think so.
No, but I know he's going to try.
And they're going to be like, sir, need to stay in the command. And he's like, nope, no. I got to be out there, man.
They could still have him as strategic commander. I mean, he obviously knows his stuff.
Yeah, he just can't fight.
Is that what we think his future is?
Yes.
Is being having to stay back? Or do you think he's too stubborn and that he's like, if these people are putting their lives on the line, I need to put mine on the line?
I feel like if a situation comes up where he, like, all the men are dying, then he might be like, you know what? Get on a horse and he'll just go out there. And you're like, no.
So more men can die because they run to try to save him.
Correct.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a never-ending cycle.
Perfect.
So yeah, we've talked a little bit about it, but let's talk about poor Hannes.
Yeah.
I know you said it felt a little cheap for you, Emma, but like this was painful. It was undercut by the weird romantic scene
that was what the issue was for me, was Hannes got killed and then immediately we went into that scene, and so I didn't have any time to like process what was Hannes's death.
Although, prior to Mikasa deciding that, like, okay, now's the time in my concussed, brain-rattled state where I'm gonna talk to Aaron. Prior to that, Aaron trying his best, still not being fully recovered, trying his best to transform and failing to, as time is running out, that is a nail-biter of a scene.
It is. And I was like, please stop biting your hand, Aaron. This is not, it's not working. It's just not, stop.
It's not an Attack on Titan season finale if he's not chewing his hand to the bone.
You're not wrong.
Up until that point, this is a super dramatic thing because Hannes is actually initially really excited because he's like, what are the odds? Mm-hmm. I get to finally atone myself. This is my redemption right here. I get to avenge your mother.
So for me, it was like, I understand. Like, this is a terrible world. People don't get good things. They don't get to, like, have the vengeance that they
don't have nice things.
This is not your usual shonen series.
Right. Yes. But I was disappointed that they killed Hannes off, especially because we had just gotten to a point where he'd had a lot of redemption as a character, where for me it's like he was no longer just, I mean, obviously it's like, yeah, okay, great, he saved Aaron and Mikasa when they were kids. We literally owe this whole series to him. but also he just had this, I just started to really like him, where he was like, you know what? I am kind of a piece of shit, but in order for me to keep living that piece of shit lifestyle that I want to live, I gotta go out there and do something about it.
And then maybe we can reclaim that life that we once
had. So I think for me it felt like it felt like too big of a jump in his character to be like, I'm gonna get my revenge now. You know what I mean? That's just how I feel.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, go ahead.
No. I was gonna say, I was kind of in the middle because I have, you guys all know how Neil is. He's very eccentric, so he was very excited about, like, he's getting his redemption. But I was kind of, like, in the same boat as Emma, where I was like, why now, though? We couldn't have had this, I don't know. Like, I was also reeling from what happened earlier, so I just...
Well, in his mind, this is, like...
Yes.
A perfect redemption setup, because the two kids that he saved that day are unable to defend themselves in this moment. And he's like, I get to retry. Yeah. This is a redo for me.
Yeah.
Well, and I didn't have an issue with the character development, because it seems like he's more interested in the small scope. He's not one of those, we're going to save the world, it's going to be great characters. Yeah. This is actually the way I had hobbits explained to me at one point. They will go and accomplish great things because they just want to go home. Yeah, and so he wants to be able to recreate that home and recreate that nostalgia and recreate when life was good. And so he will go out and do whatever he can because he wants home back badly.
Yeah, sure.
And so that's what that struck me as, is that he's someone who's finally realized, okay, if I want this, I need to do this. And it's very small. It's very, you three are left from that, so I need to make sure that you guys are okay.
Yeah.
And this Titan ruined part of that, so I need to get rid of this Titan and make sure you guys are okay. Doing great things for small reasons.
I absolutely agree with the sort of Hobbit parallel with him. I just felt like, for me, the charging in to get revenge thing, it felt like too big of a jump for me. But that's just my opinion.
For me, I felt like this death was a very, not to make that comparison, but it's something Lost would do every now and then whenever they had like a character-centered episode and then that character would die at the end of it.
Yeah.
It's like, this is the first time we're really getting acquainted with this person. Like, we're really digging into them and then boom, they're dead. We're gonna have them shot or killed by a smoke monster or some other stupid arbitrary thing that show would always do. But this was also a thing that Walking Dead does quite a bit, too. It's like, we're going to give you some moments right before it happens where you start to feel really attached to this person, and we get little sprinkles of that foreshadowing all throughout this season.
Yeah. Right.
So, to me, it makes sense that Hannah's died here
by this
Titan's hand.
Right. I don't think it doesn't make sense, but I think what you're saying about the lost thing, Megan, is exactly how I feel of, like, feels like it's been done too much.
Give it a little bit more time to marinate. And then murder.
Right, exactly. Oh, no, I'm not saying he shouldn't die. He was always going to die.
But true.
But for me, and this also goes back to my feelings about the Aaron Mikasa thing, is that this show, for the most part, is above those cliches. So when they dip their toes in them, it's a little disappointing.
It's more disappointing than it would be in other shows.
Let's put it this way. It's more disappointing than it would be in Walking Dead.
Walking Dead is a walking disappointment.
I also feel like that also doesn't help that we had a lot of those cliches in one episode.
Yes, that's exactly what it was. The last episode we get for the year.
Yeah.
I just wanted to point this out from Kelly Jones, who is on fire in chat tonight.
I love her so much.
In other words, Shingeki, no, not that character.
Yes, Kelly.
You know what? I'll let this one go. That was pretty fantastic.
She's glorious. I love it. Yeah. Thank you.
Kelly's been hitting me up with those Lord of the Rings puns in there, and I'm all about it.
That's amazing.
Like I said, though, I feel like the best part of, in terms of losing Hannah's as a character, is seeing Aaron's immediate reaction.
Yes, and I liked that. It was great.
Beautiful.
That scene I did really like.
And the performance from the Japanese actor was amazing. And it's just this realization of, like, I really haven't changed after all of my training, after all of the sacrifice, after all of the friends I've lost. I'm still that little boy who can't do anything.
I cried a lot.
I love breakdowns that start with someone laughing and then just devolve. That's one of those little teeny tropes where if you use it right, I'm just like, yeah.
I literally had a moment when it first started. I was like, is he laughing or is he crying?
Thank you. I told the same thing. I was like, is it both?
I can't tell.
He's laughing, but not for long.
Well, and I can't wait to hear Bryce perform that.
Me too.
In particular, because that was a very powerful scene. And then let's talk about it. So Aaron gets superpowers through the power of platonic sibling love. He gets
the power of friendship.
The power of friendship compels you, Aaron Yeager.
Because we're also cutting to Armin, directing traffic with his one blade, trying to protect John.
He fell off his horse and was out.
Guys,
for the
kill. His horse took a tight end to the face. Armin trying to protect him.
But I also loved when Jean also was screaming, especially when Mika.
He rescued her initially, and that made my heart happy. I'm a garbage person. I'll just see myself out.
But I love that because it was just like I hate it because it was in slow mo, and I was just like, somebody help this poor boy out. Jesus.
I think it's hilarious that Armin was able to defend himself. If that Titan had been any bigger, he would have gone for it, but because it was a smaller Titan, he was
going, so what's going on over here? I'm not understanding your sign language. Are you trying to bless me? Are you telling me to steal third? What is
directing
this?
Directing air traffic.
Directing traffic.
I thought it was conducting. It was a lot.
Swish and flick.
I said swish and flick.
Oh, God.
Bless you.
So basically, Aaron, through the power of friendship, gets superpowers, and we find out that this is what Reiner and Bertholdt were talking about the coordinate. The coordinate is apparently the power to control other Titans, as we were theorizing with the Beast Titan earlier this season.
Yeah.
Which means that potentially the Beast Titan has this ability, but we didn't see it manifest in the way that Aaron was directing them. Because that was straight up, we are Legion sort of shit.
And what I love is that you got the reaction from Bertholdt and Ymir and Reiner. Bertholdt wasn't in Titan form, which I love about that. They all kind of went, what?
Like, they weren't susceptible to it, but they felt it. And yeah. I thought that was a beautiful touch as well.
I also like, and again, like, I'm very likely misinterpreted this, but you say that they weren't, like, susceptible to it. I agree, they're not susceptible to it in the way that, like, your grunt titans were, but there's definitely, like, there's an element of, like, they can't fight against it.
Yeah. So what I'm wondering is, if Aaron learns to control this power and gets better at it, will he be able to drag them around?
I don't know. I mean, we could go real dark real quick with that kind of power.
Oh, we absolutely could, but
that, oh my gosh.
Then, like, again, this series went real dark real quick the first episode and stayed there.
Well, yeah. And again, so, if this power also falls into the wrong hands, which, as we've seen with Ymir chomping on their poor friend Marcel, Titan powers are kind of transferable if you eat someone.
Yep.
And if this power falls into the wrong hands, then that person can straight up probably just obliterate humanity, be like, hey, Titan, let's go.
Sure.
Yep. Or...
Which I was going to say leads to the, it would have been real bad if Bertolt and Reiner had got Aaron to wherever they were taking him.
But gotten away with him.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you could, like, assuming the Beast Titan has this power, could he then, like, again, if he gets to a certain level in his ability, say Reiner is the Armor Titan and Bertolt's not transformed, he'd be like, hey, Reiner, squash that thing on your shoulder. Could he do that?
I don't know.
Is that a thing he could eventually build up to?
Yeah.
Which, again, possibly. Like I said, we could get real dark real quick.
Oh, boy.
Kind of upsetting.
Yeah.
But, so,
also kind of intriguing.
Here's the thing, though. What is Dad Jaeger then responsible for giving Aaron this power?
Yes.
I'm going to go with yes.
I also think yes, but if the answer is no, I'm very curious to see how the answer is no.
Or maybe maybe it's a serum to awaken it, maybe.
I have something based on your theory that we were talking about earlier.
I do have, go for it.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Because what you had posited was that when we have Titan shifters, they become Titans in the flavor that we see for Ymir and Aaron, not the skinless wonders that everyone else seems to be. And so... when they shift initially, they don't know who they are, and Ymir got powers by eating someone who had them. You posited that Aaron ate his dad on his first shift and got powers from him, and that's why he was able to shift, and that's why he wouldn't remember it, because they don't remember anything.
That's my theory.
What if Aaron's dad was the coordinate?
That's my
theory. And that's also why they can't figure out where it went.
Oh.
They think Aaron might be it, but they're not sure. Like, this is a tool that has fallen out of their hands.
So you think
and they're trying to track it down because they don't know who it is, they don't know where
and
it is.
For the record, guys, again, I have not read past this point in the manga. This is 100% a theory.
I'm
not
being coy.
I'm not being coy. This is a legit theory on my
part. So you think that that we took the coordinate out of Aaron's father and he injected it into Aaron?
No, we think that Aaron, when he first shifted into a Titan because of the injection his dad gave him, ate his dad.
Oh.
Because he was a Titan and dad was there.
Interesting.
And that Aaron's dad was the coordinate. Okay. And then that power was transferred to him. And that's how he was also able to transform back into a person immediately.
And why he doesn't remember it, because you don't remember
it. And why he was like, I don't know where my dad is in this scenario that's happening right now.
But it also makes sense.
Yeah. There's another theory. Oh. And because we get not necessarily a post-credit scene, but after Connie basically confirms with everybody that his mom is in fact a Titan.
I just love Connie, you guys.
I feel so bad for him, too, at the same time.
And just that, as you put it, Katie, that 1,000-yard stare he had as he's like, yep, I can confirm that those citizens were, in fact, the people of my hometown, even though we can't prove it.
And that Titan sure was my mom.
That poor boy.
Yeah.
But after that scene, we get the closing shot of the season, and we get this quick zoom across the fields to the Beast Titan and a Hohenheim-looking gentleman.
You brought that up?
I thought the same thing.
I thought the same thing, and Neil was like, what? And I was like, get out.
This is skinny Hohenheim. Hohenheim.
Yeah. Also, he was ripped as hell. Just
he
saying.
Was so ripped.
I was like, what's happening?
And you had a super good theory about this as well.
That he's the Beast Titan? I suppose, because, like, we see steam like yeah, coming. I feel like it's safe to assume he's the Beast Titan.
Yeah.
Which is kind of disappointing, because I really wanted just, like, a Sasquatch
but I have,
Titan.
Yeah. But I have a theory about this mystery man, but we can wait until predictions if you want.
That's so not a Full Metal Alchemist crossover.
Yeah. Damn it, Emma. Let me have my moment.
Yeah, let's move into predictions. But do we have any final thoughts before we move into predictions?
Screaming into the void. Yeah. Basically. Yeah. Just screaming into the void.
I liked everything with Ymir and Krista. I really liked it.
Yes.
Yeah, I even like the idea of getting further development with her and Bertolt and Reiner.
Yes, I love Bertolt and Reiner. Like, Bertolt, after that last episode, like, became one of my favorite characters.
Isn't he fantastic?
He's great.
Oh,
that
man.
Moment when internal screaming becomes external screaming.
And again, yeah. And again, what a wonderfully complex relationship and dynamic they have with her.
Yes.
Because, again, she did murder their friend,
yeah.
but she also saved their necks in this moment.
She also doesn't really remember murdering their friend, yeah, so...
That's an oops.
Sorry.
And she made, you know, she made a point of, like, I can't let you guys go back empty-handed.
Yeah.
So, wonderfully, wonderful dynamic. I can't wait to see more from them. All right, let's move on into predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Alexis, tell me more about this crossover.
Okay, no, wait, no. We're setting up for another after show. We'll be here for 3 hours. Okay, so no, I have two, and I'm just mostly it's just me like throwing darts at the board of like who this person is. What I want, instead of it really being a prediction, but what I want this to be a family member of Armin.
Ooh.
You know what? His parents were mysteriously absent, and supposedly they were punished by the government. Maybe they weren't actually killed. Maybe they were turned into Titans and booted off the wall.
Damn. I didn't say anything. I just wanted to put that out there.
Oh, I love that. There's probably so many people in chat who have read the manga right now just like laughing.
Yeah, just laughing. But
I think that's a great idea, Alexis.
We're making predictions based on we have maybe 25% of the full picture here.
Yeah.
Maybe that's being generous. So we're just throwing things wildly at the wall to see
what sticks. Because I feel like we've gotten so much out of every single character. Friggin' Armin, just like we don't know anything about him.
Like Armin himself has had a really great character arc of figuring out like, no, I'm like a strategist. I'm really important to this army. But it's true. Like, we haven't gotten so much into his family history.
Which I think would be a really good time.
Or this guy is somehow related to Historia.
Thank you. That was my second one. High five, girl. That's what I was going to say.
Illegitimate child of the royal family.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm just picking out blonde children.
Who also
like, what is it?
Had to go. Because, as we all know, those illegitimate children causing problems. And we all know, also, what the government decides to do with people it decides needs to die.
Yeah.
They don't actually kill them. They turn them into Titans and boot them off the wall.
What if the royal family are all Titan shifters?
I mean, that's probably awesome.
Why not? Why not?
Everyone's a Titan. You're a Titan.
I just feel like
I'm glad we all went there at the same time.
I mean, it doesn't even have to be a parent. I want it to be like a brother or
somebody,
like an uncle, or just I think it would be nice to get to know more about these two.
Historia's evil brother.
I'll make that.
But I would so prefer that to him just being somebody completely out of left field. You know, because as soon as you have that connection to the pre-existing characters, and there's no doubt in my mind that he is somehow connected to somebody that's there.
Yeah.
But like that, it just it makes the dynamic so much more interesting right off the bat.
So I think
my only issue with this being someone who's related to the main characters is that we start getting into Star Wars territory where everyone's a freaking Skywalker.
I mean,
and this whole big intergalactic story is their family drama, and that's. That's what I worry about. Star Wars is good, mind you, but you sit there and go, it really is family drama. Oh my gosh.
But again, I wouldn't mind having it be a complete unknown person that we've never seen or heard of before and just have like a whole different thing.
That's for just a moment from now.
I thought we were going to get like some Star Wars music.
I was so confused. I was like, what?
I love the idea of it being related, like Armin's dad in particular, because his parents we're big on, like, what's out there. That's what they study.
And also, Armin is so smart. Like, he just knows so much, I feel like.
And what a great story that would get to be for Armin.
Yeah, I feel like he needs a chance to have. I mean, I think he's a good character. I just want more from him.
And also, I mean, if we do decide to go the Armin becomes an evil mad scientist.
Is that what you want to happen?
No, I don't want it to happen. But after he was like, hey, BT Dubs, they're super torturing. Sometimes you gotta
embrace the dark side.
Okay, so we are super low on time. Let's go ahead and dig into some news and gossip real quick.
AfterBuzz TV News.
So season 3 is a thing.
Yeah.
Woohoo! And Mark has a wonderful little promo pulled up for us.
Manga covers.
I know the best.
That's the ocean!
Behold the sea!
Yeah, the tagline on it actually is like, and then they find the ocean!
Again, if we're looking at the end credits, like there are titans coming out at sea in the ending credits of the show.
Sure.
So, I don't know, guys. Maybe Jaws isn't the only thing they have to worry about.
I can't help but laugh at just the explosion graphic in there because that is just so overused. It's cool, guys!
Explosion. But again, having a release date of 2018 is such a gratifying number because, like I said, this is half a season. Yeah. And I feel like they were originally going to do the whole season in 2018 and they were like, we've made them wait long enough. Here's half a season. Just take it.
This is our mid-season finale, kind of.
Kind of. Yeah.
I feel like that's safe to say.
That's fair.
I feel like that just about does it. Do we have anything else to say about this episode or about this season as a whole?
No.
I liked the season overall, even if I did not really like this episode.
To be fair, it's hard to stick the landing.
Yeah. I was really impressed that 98% of the season took place over 36 hours.
Yeah.
Like, holy cow, the pacing on it was so tight.
You know what?
So well done.
It never felt off. Like, I totally buy this as happening in, you know, the span of 36 hours. I think it's spot on. Okay, the only other thing I want to bring up before we end is that, guys, we have a little bit of a special announcement. This might be the season finale for us, but on July 3rd, we are doing a full season recap of the show, which isn't something we normally do here at AfterBuzz, but we have done it in the past, because we have two special guests coming into the studio with us, Trina Nishimura and Bryce Papenbrook, or Papenbrook. I can never pronounce it correctly. I believe Papenbrook. It's
that guy.
But they are going to be joining us in studio to talk about this season.
Yay.
So be sure to tune in on July 3rd for a special interview with them. Send us your questions, too. If you have questions for them about what it was like returning to their roles this season, let us know. Put it in the hashtag, and we might use it on the show. So thank you guys again so much for tuning in with us every week this season. It has been a joy and a pleasure getting to talk about this show with all of you out there and with these lovely ladies right here. You guys are the best. Katie, where can people go if they want to find you?
You can follow me all over the social medias and on YouTube at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. We've got a couple shows. We have a Robots in Disguise tomorrow, Tuesdays. And Turn is also starting on Tuesdays. Red versus Blue and Steven Universe tend to be about once monthly, so keep an eye out on Twitter for that. We will be announcing those. And there's another returning Rooster Teeth show that we are still working on scheduling.
Wink, wink.
I am also a regular on Geek & Sundry's Gather Your Party on Friday nights. And starting in July, that's moving to 9:30 p.m. So we're going to be the late show, y'all. It's going to be great. So it's twitch.tv/Geek & Sundry. Do the thing. It'll be great.
I'm Emma Fife. I can be found all over the internet wherever Emma Fifes are sold. At my name, Emma Fife, E-M-M-A-F-Y-F-F-E. You can find me on Mondays over on Collider, on Collider TV Talk, talking about all the things that were in the week of television. Summer's going to be fun because there's not as many shows airing during the summer, so we'll be binging some old stuff, and it's going to be a great time. You should check it out. Glow, the new Netflix series that's dropping this Friday, will be kind of our main focus of the show this coming Monday. That streams live at, I'm so stoked on Glow. That streams live at 2 o'clock p.m. Pacific time
every Monday over on Collider's YouTube. Also, you can find me doing a bunch of things over at HyperRPG. That is twitch.tv/HyperRPG. If you guys want to hang out and play video games with me tomorrow, you can do that from 1 p.m. Pacific time to 5:30 p.m. Pacific time. I am currently playing Persona 5. It is a lot of fun.
Yay!
And then on Friday nights at 9 o'clock p.m. Pacific time, you should check out Pencils and Parsecs, which is the Star Wars RPG that I do over there. It's getting so good, you guys. So good.
And I'm Alexis Torres. You can find me all over the interwebs at atorres890. I am on 3 shows right now. I'm doing, obviously, well, not this anymore, but Robots in Disguise tomorrow, Sense8 on Mondays, and Winona Earp on Sundays. Obviously, with our awesome engineer, Mark Donica, on our Popcorn Talk Network, Jedi Alliance. You should definitely check it out, 7 p.m. on Sundays as well. Also, I am finally doing it because everyone keeps asking me. I'm going to be doing the countdown in July for the wedding because everyone keeps asking me, what am I doing for it? Because it's such a huge theme and it's nerdy. So I will definitely be throwing in some stuff, showing what Etsy stuff I did and how I made some of the decorations that I did for the wedding. So definitely check that out.
Woo! Awesome. Woo! I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. I am also on a bunch of shows here at After Buzz, and I write articles for The Movie Chick. That's Chick with 2 K's. Be sure to check those out. Be sure to also check out the latest episode of The Shadow Radio Recreation, where I do the voice of Margot Lane. Thank you guys so, so much for watching. We will see you all in a couple weeks.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Power, friendship, activate!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.